Today on Secchio, the FBI conducted a 12-hour search of Joe Biden's Wilmington home. Six more classified documents found. Drip, drip, drip.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secchio. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secchio.
You know, just like everybody who's had a 13-hour raid at their home on a Friday, this is nothing to see here.
Consensual, by the way.
There's nothing to see here.
Consensual.
Yes, nothing to see here, which is what the White House has claimed. This is just normal. This is just cooperation. This has gone on, and honestly, we knew that this would continue. I want to make it clear to everybody, this is not the special counsel yet. This is still going through a U.S. attorney in Chicago who's retiring, and they still go to the same location and find six more documents, which is another term that is misleading because we don't know how many pages are within each document. So assume that it's not one page. It's at least a dozen pages, and it could be 100 pages in some of them. So you put this together, you're talking about a significant amount of document collection. Because remember early on in this, it was, well, Joe Biden has a few, Donald Trump has 100. Now we're up to 30.
Yeah,
now we're into the same. Now you don't want to even put that on a comparison. Now we've got two Democrat senators coming out saying we should independently investigate this. We were just with Jim Jordan on Friday at our office in D.C. talking about the weaponization of these agencies. Add the National Archives to it. Well, because Joe Biden had stuff since he was a senator. He's been a senator since I think before I was born. So if he had those documents and they weren't knocking on his door for 40 years, but they go raid Donald Trump's house after a few months of being out of office, where he would have had even time to categorize them.
Well, first of all, he was the sitting president of the United States until right before then. So a sitting president has the right to declassify. Here's what's interesting here. And this is what we're going to have Andy Economo join us in the next segment. I really want to know this. What is it that has led to all of this? So in other words, what in the Biden operation has led to the fact that now they are saying publicly, right, which they are, that they had a consensual search that was a negotiated search, which, by the way, could have meant, and I don't know this, could have meant we're going to get a search warrant if you don't let us in.
Yeah.
Or it could have meant we have a grand jury subpoena already for these documents. What do you have? Now they're talking about going into his other properties. But here's the two things have fallen away in the last, I would say, 48 hours or so. Yeah. One, the document comparison with numbers is meaningless because now he's into the 20, 30, 40 documents. You don't know how many pages there are. And I want everybody to remember this. When the first documents were taken, were found at the Biden Center, which seems like 100 years ago, those were Ukraine, United Kingdom, and Iran. Since then, what have they said about what these documents are? Zero. Nothing. What does that tell you? That it's worse than Iran and Ukraine? Because if not, they would say, oh, they were classified, but they were about, you know, X, Y, and Z, not that it's, you know.
Or they're no longer relevant.
Or was this document involving sources and methods? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was still relevant and it came from his time as Senate, like I said, I mean, his time as Senate goes back to 1970s.
Yeah, 1970, I think, 72.
So, I mean, he got elected to the House and right to the Senate.
Hard to believe it would be, you know, it's the whole, okay, what does this say? The whole document retrieval system is
ridiculous.
They
did this, though. The left.
And the National Archives is
And the federal government decided to weaponize this, to do an FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, yes. To make it this conflict where this is, where pieces of paper are criminal acts to the highest level figures. We're not talking about a staff person stealing a classified document to sell to Russia. This is not that. Those people get prosecuted and go to jail.
Yes.
And they have throughout our history.
Right.
Any information. They have to be highly top secret, the most top secret classified documents. But they made, like, why did the lawyers in the first place, when they say they were going to move his Biden sitter, why did he open the box? Why did he even go through the box?
Why did the White House counsel get involved in this either?
Yeah, I mean, why do you even open the, if the box is there, the documents are there, and you're just moving them, what makes you go through them and, like, start recataloging?
These are all because maybe they
we
knew they were there.
We don't have that answer
and they were,
still.
Yeah, you don't because they had an investigation going on the former president on the exact same topic.
Yeah. We're going to take your calls to 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. As we continue, and we're still finding documents, give us a call.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Elected 1972.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like before most of us were talking to you right now, we're even in your...
This was before the Presidential Records Act. Of course, he wasn't the president then, but still, the National Archives has got to be asking, you know, got to be... they knew all the Trump documents that were gone, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't know any of the Bidens until they were found. What does that tell you?
I think what it tells us, 100%, is they decided to weaponize an issue. They don't realize... I mean, this, I don't think just not... People are saying, well, this will knock out just Joe Biden. This knocks out basically... Any Democrat has been in a senior position because it goes back to his sin. So you start digging around on people like this, and if this becomes a disqualifier from office, then I think you can disqualify every elected Democrat because I guarantee you they've all got, if you go through every file, some piece of paper that some staffer put in there they probably shouldn't have. So they made it a disqualifier to act as if a president of the United States moves his own boxes, to act as if he knows what's in a storage facility. This is someone who was the leader of the most powerful country in the world. And we said we're going to potentially arrest them over pieces of paper. He wasn't selling them. He wasn't. And there's no indication that Joe Biden was either.
No.
And most people want to say, oh, Hunter, it's not great. And Hunter and who knows who was in that house. That's fine. There's no evidence yet that this was being traded for any purposes. People have gone to jail for that in the United States forever. That's always something we prosecute. Both sides agree on that. But they've decided to make the president. Just think about it that way. Think about us. Would you think that they even know what's. They don't. I mean, they're moving from hour to hour in their life.
I was going
to
ask Andy this. So, you know, a consensual search is not a term of legal art.
No, I've not.
But what they had here, though, was they said the search was 13 hours. It was consensual. They had, and they said this, that they had come to a representative for Mr. Biden, signed a form outlining the parameters of the search, including which areas in the home could be swept for papers. The sources said a Justice Department attorney was present at the residence on Friday. So what does that mean?
I wouldn't have done that. I mean, when I do a search, I execute have a warrant from a U.S. magistrate or a district judge, or I have a grand jury subpoena, and the subpoena would be voluntarily produce the documents. So you don't, I get a search warrant.
We don't know that there's not a subpoena.
But there could be a subpoena that was issued.
We wouldn't know that.
We wouldn't know that. That grand jury operates in secrecy as well it should to protect the innocent as well as those who are not.
Right.
But I would have issued a search warrant, and I would have said there are no parameters that I'm going to agree to. I'm going to go in that house, and I'm going to search that house.
Can I play the Karine Jean-Pierre bite? Where she said pretty much there's been compliance and the lawyers have said there's compliance. Let's go ahead and play this.
You said that the search has been completed, but is the president confident that there are no additional documents with classified markings that remain in any other additional locations?
Look, I can just refer you to what his team said. The search is complete. He is confident in this process, and I will leave it there.
Okay, but the search wasn't complete. And I'm not blaming her, by the way. She's just repeating what she's been told. The search wasn't complete. There were more documents. And you got to be asking yourselves, how is it that they're just coming up with these documents? I mean, they did a complete search with the lawyers were there the week before last and all of that. And yet the FBI comes in and they find 6 more or 8 more or 10 more, whatever it is, documents. Not saying pages, not saying what the topics were.
That's really bothersome. I mean, after a 13-hour search, you come up with 6 additional items after the press secretary said it's complete, or the team said to her it's complete.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for her in many respects because I think she's caught in not being
Don't
told.
Don't blame the press person.
Fully everything that she's doing or that she said. But it really bothers me that every time we go in or somebody goes in, they find more documents more locations.
If you were the FBI at this point, Jordan, you know what you'd be saying to the president's lawyers? Here's the deal. We're getting search warrants on all your other properties,
yeah,
wherever you have
really
documents.
We don't really have a good idea of these other
Because
properties.
All this, all they're cooperating, they're different than Trump, they're cooperating. Obviously, their cooperation doesn't mean finding the documents.
Well,
they define cooperating differently.
Know, and what does his facility... If it's the brothers, if it's technically, you know, we know Hunter's paid for a lot because he was an economic flow, and he's under FBI investigation.
Yes, could have originated
for
there.
For all
we don't
the purposes,
know.
This could have been through going through pieces of paper with one of those investigations.
Yes.
But what we do know is that because he was paying for a lot of bills, did it to all his properties?
All
the brothers'
those are the
properties
they need to be checking
because we don't know. They have not defined to us what other locations mean yet. All we know about is Wilmington, the beach house. And the office.
Okay, they've not done the beach house with the FBI. They've said they've done it.
Right.
They've done the Biden Center, but not with the FBI. So if you were the special counsel,
storage facilities.
What are you looking at now?
Everything that could have a possible link to Biden. And I would say, everybody clear out of here. I am the special counsel. I will take care of this investigation. I will get a list of every place Biden has been.
Lawyers sit there?
No, absolutely not.
Remember, they didn't let Trump's lawyers stay
not.
There in Mar-a-Lago.
Absolutely not have White House or his personal lawyers. I would say I'm going to a magistrate. I'm going to get a search warrant. You all get out of here. I'm going to look for the documents through my agents.
Right.
That's how I would do it.
What is the political context? There's something politically afoot here, okay? To me, it seems like the
it was weird. I mean, he was with Gavin Newsom again this weekend as this news is coming out. But you got to feel like... There's people on the left if it's a disqualifier for Donald Trump, it's a disqualifier for Joe Biden now. And so if you keep this standard in place, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's the vice president's move. She's not created a strong enough move.
No.
She's going to get surpassed by this.
But Dick Durbin's starting to speak out on this.
Yeah, it's when you start losing those types, right? Like the old school Democrats who are his friends.
Tim Kaine said he wants an independent counsel, not a special counsel.
Right, because Congress would love to have that power again. This is... To me, it is suspicious still. We have no idea what was the impetus for any of this.
We have no idea. We
don't know why the law... Again, moving doesn't make sense. Because you don't like send lawyers to move boxes, ever.
Dana Batch interviewed Durbin. It's pretty fascinating. We haven't played that part yet, have we? No. So let's. I think we should play that one. Because it really sets up the tone of what this is.
I want to play something that you said last year about the classified documents found at his Mar-a-Lago resort.
It's an outrage. It is a literal outrage for the president to take this important information down to his home in Florida and then store it in a closet with traffic people back and forth in his resort and golf course. It's an outrage.
Is it also an outrage for the current president to have what appears to be multiple classified documents in multiple locations?
At its heart, the issue is the same. Those documents should not have been in the personal possession of either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. But what happened and followed from it is significantly different.
Not really. I mean, because now Donald Trump didn't have it in multiple locations.
He was the president.
And he was negotiating over whether they were his or not, or whether they had to go to the National
Whether they were declassified or not. He was the president. He actually had the power to do that. Joe Biden can't use that argument at all. So this apples to apples is what is also getting them in trouble. First it was, Joe, but he just had a few. Now that doesn't really play. Now when you get to like 30 and 40 versus 100 of folders, that's, we don't even know how,
technically there could be still more pages in now what we found with Joe Biden.
We don't know.
Because the folders have – okay, so that's one thing. The second part that they are just digging a hole here is the disqualifier, that this somehow, because of your staff and handling – and I could just go back to Joe Biden wasn't the president. He has no declassification power. So the whole – he has no argument that he has any right to these were President Obama's documents.
Right.
And
which is interesting. He said President Obama has said nothing.
No one is coming out to defend him. Really. So they're trying to say he's not as combative as Donald Trump. I mean, it's a personality issue now.
So I guess the question becomes, though, on the legal side, the new special counsel is not in yet. As Jordan said, he's not until the end of the month. Wouldn't you be saying, stop? I'm sending FBI agents in. I'll get a search warrant if I need to.
That's what I said.
If you don't want me to have a search warrant, then I'm just going to go in, and you're not telling me where I'm going, and you're not going to be there when I'm there, and your lawyers aren't going to be there when I'm there, and it's good for one, it's good for the other, which, by the way, is due process. And by the way, I think this whole thing, there's political machinations here, but the special counsel now has to take charge of this.
This is
multiple locations now.
Is what I said, and what you said is exactly correct. Everybody out. I'm the special counsel. I'm going to get a search warrant. We're not going to sign parameters. We're not going to have White House counsel present. We're not going to have your personal lawyers present. I'm going to make searches, and I'm going to decide what locations I'm going to seek to ask the warrants to be issued for. That's what I would do.
I think, Jordan, that's where it's going. But I just wonder if the political – I mean, you've got the whole – you know, Tim Kaine, as I said, was on the air, and then you've got Joe Biden's friends in the Senate trying to de-escalate it, but it's not working very well.
No, because, again, the drip continues.
This is like 101, don't do. Don't do the drip, drip, drip.
Well, don't say it's done.
Get it out often. Get it out early.
Don't say it's done. Don't say there's nothing else to see here. And we have not even gotten to the special counsel. And, again, I do not put too much faith into what these government lawyers can do. Because guess what?
They're government lawyers.
John Durham's got nothing done.
Right.
Hunter, is there anything done? Remember, he was supposed to get charged and no charges have ever been done.
Nothing.
Remember, that was all supposed to happen like months ago.
Durham, nothing. Bob Mueller, nothing.
Well, there's, again, these guys, they play heavy politics. Everyone's guilty before proven innocent. You get into actual court, and they don't meet any of those criminal standards.
No. All right,
so that's why, honestly, if you're going to look at the two between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who would be trading on this info in a way, it would look more like Joe Biden. Someone who's been in politics. Well, this is his only job.
Yeah.
Again, I point out, 1972, this guy's only been a politician. And everybody around him's got rich. So it would make much more sense that they would actually have a sophisticated way of using this to their own advantage than Donald Trump, who had nothing to do with politics, gave to both sides until he ran on his own a few years ago. I mean, it's just – that's why that apples to apple – it was a big –
that's why we put out a FOIA request too, though. We're on top of this at ACLJ.org. Support the work. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
After all these searches, we get to Friday.
This has been going on for since January 6th, right?
Yeah.
5th or 6th is when they did this. So for 3 weeks, this has been going on, and it's been, we have the documents, we've handed them over. We found it, we handed it over, there are no more. Oh, there's a few more. Here it is. Oh, we found one in the garage next to the Corvette. Oh, we found one in the office.
It sounds like you got a box and an exit.
Yeah,
and they show even that picture online. I think at first the Republicans were using it to show, you know, the Corvette, and you can see the garage, you see a couple boxes. The FBI spent 13 hours. It's not just a couple of little boxes in his garage. That may have been where it started.
What is
but
that?
There was like a storage facility within this house. I mean, in this house,
it would not like
13 hours. They have unlimited resources, and it took them 13 hours to say, I think we've gotten what we need to get.
They allowed the president's personal counsel
and
to stay there.
That's interesting, too, though. This is a president with a 13-hour search. Not a former president.
No.
Now he's the current president. He's
with a 13-hour search of his residence and maybe more to come. What does a 13-hour search look like?
That looks like a
raid,
pretty,
right?
It does look like a raid. It looks like a pretty thorough going through that house. If I was in there and I had swarming FBI agents, imagine your house. For 13 hours, you've got FBI agents swarming through everything you've got in there. That, I'd say, is a pretty thorough search.
So, most people have 13 hours worth of documents.
But when you got to say what you said again, because it's true. The sitting president of the United States House, think about this, folks, his home has been searched by the FBI. They went after the former president's house, now the sitting president's house. Wait a minute. You'll be seeing next thing coming out of Joe Biden's going to be they've weaponized the FBI.
Well, I think that's where we may get to that point where we say, okay, the FBI has too much power. These government agencies are out of control.
Because this is a little out of control.
Because are they just, how much of these Jim Comey-type bureaucrats, they control the world? But in fact, they're just appointed by a president to do a job. That doesn't mean it's not a very important job. But at the end of the day is they are not elected by the people, for the people, by the people. And elected representatives should have much more say, because that's who we actually get a voice in a decision, not these unelected D.C. bureaucrats, most of which don't even have to go through a confirmation process. I mean, it's only a couple few people at the FBI that even go through that process of the confirmation.
Even more,
but there's a God complex within those agencies.
Yes, I'm looking at CNN right now because we got multiple, multiple stations on. Even more documents found after 13-hour search of FBI and Biden's home.
That's how they're heading.
Okay, even more documents. Okay, this is what's going on here. We want to take your calls and comments about this. How do you think about all of this? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Andy, we don't know. Probably not a search warrant. We would have probably heard they've executed a warrant, although you're not supposed to know. But a grand jury subpoena could have been in the offing here.
Could have been. You're not supposed to know that either, because grand jury works in secrecy to protect the innocent as well as to accuse the guilty. But we don't know what precipitated it.
Biden lawyer Bob Bauer behind White House classified document strategy. Let me tell you something about that strategy, Bob. It's not working.
No, and I want to say this, too, because we're working for President Trump, and they were going after us all the time. They always go after the lawyers.
Yep.
They've always elevated these guys like they're geniuses.
Yeah, well, not so smart.
They have destroyed, potentially, a guy who has had a career since 1972. In 2 weeks, this is how you know about Joe Biden. He's going to be an old man who looks like he didn't know what was in his yard, but yet his brother and his son certainly did. And that's why I say, when you go back to who looks more corrupt on paper or corruptible, definitely Joe Biden. Definitely a guy whose whole life has been spent getting elected. And I'm not saying this should be weaponized, but if you're going to do it, if you're going to raid Mar-a-Lago, why are we not raiding Rehoboth Beach right now? Shouldn't it be raided and locked down? Because, I mean, I guess there's probably some security there.
I mean, you got to watch. Do you see what they're saying right now? I mean, this is what's so fascinating is we're live. Bauer broke news about investigation to Biden. I mean, his outside lawyers did his his Department of Justice didn't tell him after it was done.
Well, this is what we talk about. The FBI just said, "Oh, we'll just sit a bit." It's there is a problem.
Well, that's where the FBI, even in this situation, may be out of control. Maybe
that's what I think so. I think Jim Comey was. Remember, a lot of people now they piled on Trump and tried to impeach him for getting rid of Jim. I mean, that was what it was really about.
But Hillary Clinton didn't like Jim Comey.
What is it? We've been in this situation, right? Bauer broke news about investigation.
How is Biden. The President of the United States?
I didn't break the news of investigation to President Trump.
No, he's the President of the United States. He should know about any investigation.
All right, let's take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Lynn in Washington State on line one. Hey, Lynn.
Hi, guys. I was wondering who selects the special counsels yep. that you guys are referring to, yep. and are they limited in who they are, like attorneys or senators or firemen?
Yeah, no. So the selection is done by under the statute. There's a special counsel statute. There's no more independent counsel, which was an independent lawyer set up outside the Justice Department. They brought it inside. The attorney general is the one who makes the select of the potential special counsel. So here they made Merrick Garland made it. What they usually are, but not always, is what you were, Andy, which is former U.S. attorneys, assistant U.S. attorneys, head of the criminal division, things like that.
Yeah, people who know the criminal law, people who know the criminal process, who know criminal procedure, people who have been in the system. Her was part of the Justice Department. He was U.S. attorney for a district. And so they go to people who've got qualifications to know how to run an investigation, how to conduct an investigation, how to issue search warrants, how to issue subpoenas, how to interrogate witnesses when they get them, how to give immunities to witnesses if they do that. Yeah. And so they have all these background qualifications.
And as you pointed out last week, Jordan, it's got to be a criminal.
Oh, right, right. You don't just do this to do it. I mean, it says in the special counsel it's a criminal investigation. So President Biden is under criminal investigation as President of the United States. Not civil. It's not just to get pieces of paper. There's no justification. There's no reason to appoint a special counsel. I think this gets to a few points. Merrick Garland, weak.
Yes.
Listen, and you look at how President Trump, also weak. Yep. You have two weak people as Attorney General who don't know how to take a stand against their bureaucracy. Jeff Sessions should have never recused himself because he had a meeting with the Russian ambassador that everybody in Washington had met with.
Right.
I mean, if you weren't anybody in Washington if you hadn't met Kislyak.
Right.
He was there for 25 years. I have a picture with him. Does yep. that make him disqualified? But there were events. He's an ambassador for a huge country. But he ran away because they're afraid of what this bureaucracy could do to you, even if you've gotten to the very, very top levels. So I think you could make those comparisons. When you have these two attorney generals who people didn't really think were – remember, for Obama, he was the consensus pick for the seat because he's not too disagreeable.
Right.
You want your Eric Holders and your Bill Barrs in there. At least while they're there. You ever heard a peep from Eric Holder?
Nope.
Loretta Lynn? They take the heat, too.
Loretta Lynch, nothing.
He was held in contempt. He didn't turn on
Obama. No, it's true.
And she didn't turn on, remember all that, with the tarmac? They are part of the team. And what we're starting to see here with Joe Biden is I think there's been a crumbling.
Yes.
We've seen the problems with the vice president's office there, the president's office there. This is not like we're post-presidency talking about Mike Pence versus Donald Trump. This is a current president. Also, big picture, makes us look very weak to the world.
Yeah.
I mean, these other leaders that the presidents are dealing with don't deal with this.
No.
But they don't get criminally investigated while they're in office. Out of office, maybe one thing. In office.
We don't know yet, as you said, Jordan. We don't know yet. I only got 30 seconds here. What started this whole thing?
No, we have no idea what started
it. That is the fascinating thing to me. What kicked all this off?
Well, there's some people who have an idea that this was a Democrat strategy to get rid of a bad candidate. Might be.
Who knows? All right,
he's on upswing. That was the weird part. He was just on his upswing. It still looks like they're following Rod Klain leaving. So that looks like you're setting up your campaign to launch.
Yeah.
I mean, that he still seems like he's ignoring this and acting like...
We got another 30 minutes ahead to talk about this, folks. Stay tuned.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom. keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Tim, we got to set the stage here because it's not a repeat. It's not a replay. And I think the drip that continues here is can be even surprising to people who are, again, on the outside politically from Joe Biden, like a lot of us are, is that we get these news alerts Saturdays that there was a 13-hour search at the current president of the United States. Oh. Take out Joe Biden. Just listen to that sentence. A 13-hour search at the current president of the United States home on Friday.
And by
they
the
found
FBI.
Documents he criminally, potentially, should not be in possession of.
So you got to restate that because this is important. 13-hour investigation, FBI agents in your house. You're the president of the United States searching for unauthorized possession. That's what it is, of documents that are classified, and which is could be a crime if it's. I mean, but think about this, folks. 13-hour, the FBI is there going through his house.
That's a pretty scary thing when you say it the way you said it. And you think about it, 13-hour search, your private residence, you're not the former president, you are the sitting incumbent president of the United States, and the FBI is swarming through every nook and cranny of your house. That is something to think about.
And Logan just walked in, and the truth is, the media has to now cover it, which they are, but it's interesting, they still try to draw these distinctions that are just falling.
Oh, yeah, a lot of little distinctions, a lot of here's why it's okay here and not okay here. They've started changing what they've worded. Like CNN started calling it, what was the word they called it? Something hilarious. Spillage. Document spillage. That is just normal in all presidencies, that there's some document spillage. I'll find out the exact word. We got to find that clip. It's hilarious. And it's hilarious, but it's also very sad to see because, like you said, it went from actually, I feel like, not being that politicized since they were treating it very similar to then your morning show, which you had a Don Lemon and Poppy Harlow and that team actually being a little harder edged, now changing their tune now to the document spillage of 2023.
And they're trying to draw this distinction. I want to play this sound between Martha Raddatz from ABC News and Chris Coons. They're trying to do this, you know, oh, these are different. He has no idea. Listen to this.
But how can he say he takes classified material seriously when some of what was found may have been in his home for more than a decade and he seemingly had no idea?
Well, the important point there, Martha, is that he had no idea.
No, she said he seemingly had no idea. Like, how could that possibly be is what she was saying.
Right. And first of all, this is a guy who his whole career, his whole life has been elected official since he's been an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, he like hit the minimums of the constitutional requirements. Went right to the House, the Senate. And we pointed out since 1972. Been through a lot of serious moments in U.S. history and fragile moments in U.S. history. We've talked about overclassification. We're going to talk to Rick Rendell. He's talked a lot about that. He came in basically to declassify information that was overly classified right. To be kept from the American people. So they're getting a taste of what they created. They created this monster.
Well, they are the weaponization of these agencies. But as Andy said, and I just think, and I said it, I want to paint this picture in your head. FBI agents in your home. You're the president of the United States for 13 hours. Now, nothing there that is happening is good.
No, that's a pretty scary scenario that you painted, and it's not good.
Did they say how many agents?
I don't know, but I can tell you it's a team.
No, there's no CNN cameras set up outside like Roger Stone's house or Mar-a-Lago. There's no boats in the water.
Yeah,
but and why are the drones not flying? You know, it's why is there no image of what this looked like spilled out like on the car? In the garage. Because yeah, he thinks it's a safer bet to go with the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if those images do come out. I highly doubt they do. But we'll find out.
I'll tell you something, folks. The sitting president of the United States had his house raided for 13 hours. I'm not going to say, well, it wasn't raided. He said raided. No, he voluntarily let the FBI come in because the FBI, I'm sure, said, if you don't let us come in, something else might happen. Or he said, oh, if you don't let us come in, that's fine too. So this, you got to understand all of what's going on here, all of what's in play here. It's the sitting president of the United States for 13 hours has the FBI going through his house. I mean, it's unprecedented, really.
All right, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Kind of, again, you have to keep reminding everybody there's lots of timelines here. But the important part of this timeline is we were told January 12th that this was done, that, you know, whatever cooperation was necessary, that it was the office in D.C., and hey, they did a little check at the home just to make sure the beach house is supposedly clear. But now the home of President Biden was supposed to be clear as well in Wilmington, and then the FBI goes in. I think we cannot understate this enough. What this looks like if you're a neighbor. Okay, imagine this is your neighbor.
Right.
And there's an FBI search for 13 hours next door.
Yeah.
That's not just like local news that day. That's like this story, national news, even if you're not the president. Because that means something serious or potentially serious that the federal government believes is threatening to our safety or security, or that you've committed a serious crime.
Yep.
Or even ongoing even in a criminal enterprise. And so anybody saying that his lawyers, they're playing some game like, we're just not going to push back because we're not Donald Trump. I think that has
Well, I think Bauer's strategy has totally backfired. I mean, in the court of public opinion. Now, having said that, we've got Rick Grenell, who's a senior advisor to us, but was also the director of national intelligence, knows a lot about classified documents. Now you've got, so they're going to eliminate Rick. There's no more of the comparison, well, Trump had this many and Biden only had this many, because now Biden's numbers are going up. They're not saying, well, you know, he had him in a secured, in Mar-a-Lago, needed a lock, which is what the FBI wanted, and this guy's got him floating around in his garage next to his Corvette. All of those are out of the way now. But the seriousness of this is, I made the joke that the next thing you hear out of the president's people is they've weaponized the FBI, because, I mean, a 13-hour search of your home by the FBI is not a pleasant thing, I am sure.
That's also a message, I know we've said this before, we need to again, that it was President Trump who had classified information. He is the ultimate declassification authority. And it was Senator Joe Biden and Vice President Joe Biden without declassification authority. That's a very important point, because I think going forward, that's what we're going to see. I'd like to know, where's the FBI raids? Where's the live TV coverage? Where is the flashing lights of the media? And, you know, we don't see it.
So no TV. So the truth is, on the TV coverage, the networks are having to cover only because it happened. On the FBI raid, let me give you my legal sense here, okay? And I don't know this, but for them to consent to a 13-hour search of a residence?
The current president's residence.
The current president's residence. I think it was probably the choice of either consent to this or we're going to get a search warrant or they already had a grand jury subpoena. I don't know that, but it's hard to believe that the FBI went there without saying, if you don't, something's going to happen. So this is, but they are treating the two presidents, the former and the current, very differently in this process, which I think also was causing all kinds of problems for them. And they're trying to draw these distinctions. And then, like you said, the biggest distinction is the former president could actually have declassified. The current president was the vice president. He couldn't. But this whole idea now of the National Archives, I'd like to know how this whole thing started with all these guys. What is it that started this with the National Archives?
It's a really good question. I think that the House Republicans need to haul the National Archives up in front of them, to haul Chris Wray up in front. I'd like to know why the FBI is tipping off Joe Biden and his team before they go to the beach house. They were coming. We're going to be looking for classified information. And then lo and behold, Joe Biden goes to the beach house for the weekend. It seems like to me that that's an obstruction of justice. You're tipped off that the FBI is coming to search, and you go home first with your team to tidy up the place.
You know, the thing I don't understand about this, Jordan, at all, I mean, I don't understand this at all, is they were talking about, well, we were cooperating, that cooperation meant something and so forth. You know, that may have worked the first document you found, and then you found the second group of documents. It's not so plausible, but now you're on the third tranche in. And you had the, and this is after you said everything's fine, documents, yeah, we completed the search. And then all of a sudden, now you've got the FBI having to go there, and miraculously, they find more documents.
Yeah, and the way that, that one family has been demonized, the Trump family. This family now, Joe Biden, has two active federal criminal investigations going on.
Yes.
One against the president, one on his son. I mean, the only connection I can make that they started this is, I don't think he had a revelation. Uh-oh, we raided his house 6 months ago. We better search, because that would have made sense 6 months ago. This had to be connected to either another federal criminal.
Well, that's what I was
and saying. This is not the norm in America. I don't think we need to make this the norm, that everybody's always under criminal investigation. But you have to. It's apples to apples. Now, there's not a, again, it's not fair to say that Biden was at the same level. But like Rick said, we're never going to get the imagery the same way. I don't think. Don't expect
the media's not going to treat him the same.
You're not
way.
Going to see the cameras set up. You're not going to see the swarm. I mean, there was a swarm in a home on Friday. 13-hour search had to look intense. But even the amount of people going into the house, we didn't see one picture.
But the FBI agents, you know, let the White House lawyer or the president's personal lawyer there stay on the site. They didn't do that with the former president. They made the lawyers leave the facility. The normal practice is what, Andy?
You clear the place, and the FBI does the search. You don't have visitors and overseers and sightseers and people looking. You don't have the president's private lawyers. You don't have the White House counsel. You clear and secure the residence, and you conduct the search thoroughly and completely. When I heard that the president's lawyers were there or his representatives were there, I was appalled at that. We don't do that kind of thing. Why are they treating Biden this way, and they're not? And they didn't treat his predecessor the other way? I don't understand.
We got Rick back. I think he's on the phone. So, Rick, you know, you're looking at the situation now, and you handled classified documents at the highest level. And there's always the concern, as Jordan said, with overclassification. But now they're finding documents from when he was in the Senate. The others are from when he's in the vice president. They haven't checked his beach house yet. You know, here's what I don't understand with the FBI. If they were so worried about the documents being, well, they say he's being transparent. Well, he wasn't obviously being transparent because he had more documents. So why isn't the FBI executing a search warrant right now at the Rehoboth Beach House of the current president of the United States?
Yeah, look, the reason why they're not doing it is because we have a system right now where the media is allowing the weaponization of government. Remember, they had a check and a balance on them, the Democrats, for years, because the media would hold them to an account. Now, when you don't get pushback from the media, you learn that you can get away with anything, which means you can discover classified information in your presence before Election Day, and you can cut a deal with DOJ to say, let's keep this silent so that nothing happens in the midterms, so that we don't look sloppy, that we can continue pressing Donald Trump as the only one with classified information. That was a deal that was cut. That would have leaked out if it was Donald Trump. And so my point is we have a system, we have a set of bureaucrats, we have media who are playing partisan politics. It will ruin the United States of America. If we continue down this path where the media play one side and they don't put a check and a balance on the Democrats, it will become so reckless when Democrats are in power that they're going to ruin our country.
And I think, to Rick, to your point, I think it's making it more difficult, too, to get to the serious discussions that shouldn't be partisan, like you when you were brought in as acting director of national intelligence on the overclassification of documents, Washington keeping information from the American people that they shouldn't necessarily be able to keep from the American people or their elected representatives.
The overclassification issue is a very serious issue that we now have intelligence agencies protecting their PR image. When they make a mistake, they classify the information and they file it away. It's an easy way to protect their mistakes or their embarrassments. And so I think it's a real problem. But now is not the time to be having that discussion, because Joe Biden took classified information. You can't now come back and say, well, this was overclassified. It shouldn't have been.
He's going to come out and say, this
is weaponized FBI.
Right, against me. That this is a political move against me. And we listen, to some extent, the media loves being piranhas, but only they had to really be pushed on this one. They did not want to go there.
No, and I think, don't you think, Rick, at the end, they got pushed because the it just became too much with all the different locations, so now they're having to cover it?
Yeah, it got to be too much. Remember, CNN messaged for 48 hours that there were fewer than 10 documents and this was no big deal. And they looked foolish. And I think by looking foolish, they had to play catch up. But there's one other thing that's happening here. There could be an appetite in the media to say, you know, Joe Biden is not doing great. He's old. He's got some problems here. This might be our time to actually dump him. And to go all in to say, let's have a new Democratic primary for 24 and let's take our moment to get rid of him. We could be seeing that.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about that, too. All right, Rick, we appreciate it as always. We're taking your calls, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. Next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to talk about what the ACLJ is doing on this, including our Freedom of Information Act demand that's gone out, which has received expedited review from the National Archives. So we're going to get into that as well, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. You get this information on this broadcast, we're able to talk to you, we're able to take action in Washington to represent the interests of the American people. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org.
where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I'd be very careful. If I was a U.S. senator, especially on the other side of this, highly critical of Donald Trump and then having to now figure out the criticism, I'd be pretty careful too with this, because we've talked about overclassification with Rick. We talk about, so these guys have been in office forever, like Joe Manchin. I think it's, you know, it's great to play it there. They are taking it somewhat more seriously. But if I had to bet, the way that they do this classification, as long as they've been in office, I'd bet against them that I could find something they shouldn't have.
Yeah,
and so probably. I'd be very, very careful. Again, because we say how this is, again, this bureaucracy that we've created, and we talk about it being weaponized, loves to flex its muscles. They did it against Hillary weaponized. Clinton, too.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget that. They did this against Clinton when against every Department of Justice policy to go out there and say that we've reopened investigation right before an election. She blames them for her election loss. It certainly didn't help her.
Right.
There's no way it helped. Listen to Joe Manchin here. It's just interesting to see how Washington will first you start losing the guys who like to play in the middle by 22.
President Biden said he had no regrets in how he handled this. Do you have any advice for him on how he should handle this?
Oh, I think he should have a lot of regrets. Yeah. I said, whoever's responsible, I mean, if I hold people accountable, and I use whether it be my chief of staff or my staff, mm-hmm. that we're doing this and I'm looking at, then I'm going to hold someone accountable. But basically, the buck stops with me.
I think this is an interesting dynamic and a good political lesson for our audience in how Washington works. So you immediately had this coming around and supporting him, the President Biden. Then you were drawing these distinctions between the Biden case and the Trump case. And then Trump gets a special counsel already in place. Then they put a special counsel in place who's still not there yet on the Biden matter. Then, you know, we had the situation where a search warrant's executed on Biden's house. They don't do a search warrant on Trump's house in Florida, Biden's house. They do this, quote, consensual search, which we're still trying to figure out exactly what that means. That means you either consent to it or we're going to get a search warrant, I suspect.
Yeah, that's what I would say, yeah. That's exactly what it is. If you don't agree to the FBI swarming over your house for 13 hours, we'll go to a U.S. magistrate and we'll get a search warrant, and they can do it that way. So I don't think he had a lot of choice.
But they let these other houses go right now. And how's the FBI saying, oh, well, they're cooperating? Well, not really, because they're not. The lawyers went in there and said, oh, we looked and we couldn't find anything else. We found these few documents, which, by the way, now they're not describing at all. So Bowers, you know, they went after us when we were representing a president. So you're in the big leagues. I mean, that's when you're representing a president, you're at the highest of your legal career. Okay? That's great. But, you know, criticizing, nobody likes criticism, but you got to be, you know, really this strategy. Now, they're going to say, well, hey, you know what? If I'm Bauer, though, he's saying the FBI is not going to do anything to him. He's a sitting president. Sitting presidents can't be indicted.
But his son could be.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know what? He doesn't want his son going to jail.
No.
Or his brother. And so they've already lived through that. Now, Joe Biden's used to going through this. He's been in politics his whole life. He's much tougher than people try to make out to be. And
very
tough. Sometimes shows that. And I guess he's gotten older. He seems a little more weak, but you don't stay in Washington that long and this kind of hold of power where he gets into VP, even when they say like he makes the worst decisions ever, but not bad enough to where you didn't need him as VP if you're Barack Obama. I still think there's a lot of dynamics here that Donald Trump doesn't have. They demonize Donald Trump's family, but they're not under FBI investigation.
Nope.
You know, no one's going, you can say whatever you want about Don Jr., that they're politically can be controversial, but they're not under multi-year investigations for potentially using this kind of information for money.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what Hunter's under investigation for in the first place, is trading off the name in a way that's illegal.
Let's take Frank's call from New York on line two, and then I want to play a soundbite in a moment. Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I just have a quick comment. I believe somehow, some way, Biden's being set up because the next presidential election, no matter who the Republicans put up, will trounce Joe Biden.
No,
we thought that to some extent, but think about the midterms. He did better than any other. I think he's very palatable to a lot of people because he's blah. And even so, their strategy here is just continue to be, let Washington be Washington, let the media be what the media, but we'll just be blah.
Blah, and the media.
And we don't
freak out.
He doesn't freak out like Trump.
Nope.
He doesn't send out the message like so angry. He
right.
probably is fuming, but he doesn't let you see that. And so it's a very – the personality issue here, I know we all feel that way, and that's how we got dumped on in the last election cycle.
Yes,
everybody thought, who would put these guys back in charge?
And they did.
And the American people overwhelmingly.
So we're going to play it. We're going to play a sound, but I want to know who's the person answering the question is who? Is another reporter for CNN. Listen to the phrase they're using on the possession of classified documents in violation of federal criminal law. But listen how they do it on CNN number 38.
Katie, this has been a big question, of course, not just in light of what happened with Trump's documents, but also now with Biden. You know, is it an accepted thing? How common is this? What is your reporting found?
Yeah, Caitlin, this kind of classified spillage happens almost literally every day. And most of the time, it's completely accidental.
Okay, wait. This spillage happens almost every day? First of all, this isn't spillage. This is documents going back decades.
You know, I represented the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia, and when we talk about spillage, it means that there's a break in the dam.
Yeah, well,
you better watch out, because that little spillage coming out of the runway on the dam is going to end up in a crack in the dam, and the water is really going to come out then. That's where I came up with the word, or first was introduced to the word spillage. Yeah, watch out.
I think this is a game. It's true to some extent. Of course, there's accidental, because there's a lot of pieces of paper here, and we kind of operate as we know. The federal government is stuck into the 1970s and 80s still in their way that they produce these documents, not very modern. But some of them, they're so secret, they don't put them on a computer server that China's got can easily hack. So they're doing it like handwritten still, some of this, because there's people's lives at risk who could be long-term assets to the United States. They could be an asset to the United States that goes back to the Cold War.
Yeah. So we've got... We sent out a freedom of our office in Washington, D.C., our government affairs office. Ben Sisson, one of our senior counsels there, who heads up our FOIA practice, sent out a FOIA demand to, we got it up on the screen for those watching on TV or our social media platforms, just about on January 12th. So right after this hit, we sent out a FOIA request to the National Archives, which was Ben's idea, which is a great idea to find out how all this has happened, what the communication's been. We requested, which we never get usually, expedited review. And here, Andy, we got expedited review, which means we should start getting productions of documents very soon.
Yeah, expedited review from any agency is
rare,
not the common course. And for the archives to do that, especially with this sensitive thing, indicates that they know that we are not fooling when we want the documents that we've asked for.
And this is why I ask our audience to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. And I encourage you right now to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and any amount you donate, we really appreciate it, because we analyze the issue here on this broadcast, give you an hour of this every day, 5 days a week. Then we also have Secular Brothers podcast, where they do the same, a lot of the same issues, but also some humor, I might add. And then we got our teams in Washington going to court if necessary, or dealing with government agencies to get answers for the American people, for you. And I want to encourage you to support our work. That includes our work going on right now in Pakistan, where we've got a young man who's 22 years old, was picked up when he was 16, and has been sentenced to death because he's a Christian. And we're working on that case. So whether it's at Washington, D.C., at the highest courts in Europe, or international tribunals, or a city council meeting in Colorado, the ACLJ is there. And we encourage you to support our work at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, it's ACLJ.org. And again, I mean, this is continuing. This is an active live event that we are covering. I want you to stick with us. Support our work again at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.